This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Ah, it's Groundhog Day, baby. Moving along at 2 past the 3 o'clock hour. Feeling good here on a Friday. Seat Williams. Marcus, he's got the wheels of steel. Plenty to get to today. George Cole back in the box. We moved him around. He's going to come up about 3:30. So we'll light it up, get the lighters ready. Dope coming up in about 10 minutes from now or so. Then, of course, the final go-round. In the final go-round, yes! Popular demand, the marker. He's got your tickets again. So the Rebels, Florida A&M, next Saturday, their regular season opener. Of course, they have an exhibition game at the MAC tonight, but we'll load you up on that final go-round for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the regular season opener. All right, let's get busy with it. Start you a bit with last night. Not going to talk much about the game, but you know what? Like it or not, the J-E-T-S Jets, they got some fight in them. 34 points from the Jets, and then the defense basically all till the fourth quarter held the Bills to a touchdown for the 34-21 victory. So, look, their defense is solid. McNown, you know, serviceable. But in the end, if the Jets find a quarterback, not just a guy who can regulate things and get things through, and they need a real quarterback. What I mean is a guy, not even just a franchise. He doesn't have to be a franchise quarterback, but someone they can rely on that can make really big plays. I was very disappointed in Buffalo. I thought Buffalo was going to hand it to him. And they came out, and I'm not going to say they were sluggish. I'm going to say the Jets took it to them. The Jets won the ball game fair and square. They're 4-5, folk. They're a game back of 500. The Bills could have went up to 6-2, but they fall to 5-3. And, of course, they're not going to catch the Patriots. However, the Bills do have life for a chance at a playoff card. But last night didn't help them. In your division, you're going to play every team twice. And if you're better than that team on paper, you're supposed to sweep them. And the Buffalo Bills, let's go Bills, didn't happen last night until the fourth quarter. And so there you have it, that final score. And we'll see what happens coming up. You get that extra time off, and Buffalo better jump right back in there. And for the Jets, I don't know. Maybe they'll just get in the way of people that need wins. Wouldn't want to play them right now. After a win like that over a rival inside your own division, you're pretty fired up. You got next? That's what they're saying right now, and so are their fans. Ezekiel Elliott, how many lives does this cat have? Man, you know, you think about it. Okay, he's got another stay. And this time, granted by administrative stay from the Federal Court Appeals. Last minute move again. Okay, so they're gonna get him in the end. Let me put it this way. If Robert Kraft, if his guy, Tom Terrific, can be gotten by Roger Goodell, then Ezekiel Elliott, I don't care. Jerry Jones is your guy. I don't care how many twists you move. In the end, if they don't get him this year, they're going to get him next year. So what's the better time to take the 6-game suspension if you're Zeke? Would it be beginning next week, going into week 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 with one game to play? Would it have been better to taking it earlier? Do you really think you're going to beat him? I understand the fight, but they're going to get you. Is it better to take the hit now? Or if you get through this season, let's say you're in the playoffs. I know it's supposed to be regular season. I'm hearing and reading somewhere where they said, you know, they could get him in the postseason. I'm not sure on that. Don't take me on a confirmation there. But in the end, even if they don't get you this year, Tom made it all through that last the whole year. And then the next season, boom, they got him. You want to start next year sitting the bench for 6 games? Because that's where you're headed. Cowboys are competitive. They should be a playoff team, but somewhere along the line, they're going to put a flat tire on you. And the question is, do you want it now or do you want it next year? Now or later? Because that 6-game suspension, it ain't coming off the map, buddy. It's going to be on the schedule, and the itinerary is going to say 6 games where? Back into this season, rolling over to next year to start the year, or next week? look, if I am a betting man, okay? If there were odds up at the book and I could bet on that, will he get suspended? Everything I got. Ain't no way he's slipping through the cracks. I'd be totally surprised. This one kind of surprises me. And listen, when you burn bridges, just keep in mind you on the way up, you see everything in front of you. But on the way back down, you really don't always see what's there. You know, you could burn a bridge, and a person that you burnt the bridge with, they could be part of an organization that you want to be a free agent with in the future. And in this case, talking in particular about Doc Rivers, Chris Paul started it by saying that Doc Rivers, the Clippers basically have a very bad culture. The culture is jacked up. And, you know, he moves on, does his thing, or went to do his thing down in Houston, and got injured. So he's out for a while. But in the end, he took a shot at Doc Rivers and his former teammates. In particular, I think Chris Paul may have been aiming at Doc. Remember they went and got Jordan from Houston when he was about to leave him last year or 2 years ago? The kidnapping and then snatch and grab back. Well, Chris Paul leaves and he takes a shot at Doc Rivers saying, you know, there's a problem with the culture with the Clippers. Okay, we know that. There's a Clippers. The Clippers, man. And J.J. Redick. Doc comes out, defends himself, and talks about the culture. And he says, hey, look, the culture, what is the culture about? The culture is not about the coach. It's about the players. And he's right. But the coach has an input and stamps who he is. Generally speaking, and you see this a lot in football, the players are like their coach. So what's up with Doc? I think one thing that really hurt that culture is having a son on the team. There are a bunch of players way better at guard than your son. And having your son on the team, taking a roster spot, and getting the minutes he got, you know, you think a player would want to really say what he could say. Wouldn't it be cool if they could? Hey, look, let me tell you like it is. Austin Rivers sucks. Doc shouldn't have him on. It's the only reason he's on the team is because he's his son. Wouldn't it be cool if players could say that, but they can't? But you know what a guy's thinking when he says the culture's bad. Well, yeah, the culture's bad. The coach's son is on the team, and he's making millions of dollars. And there's many just upon teens of better guards that could be on that roster other than Rivers. So we kind of know what you're saying, Chris, but you can't say it. So Doc says, hey, look, the culture starts with the players. Who runs the culture? The players, on and on. No, it kind of has something to do with you too and your son. But Chris Paul didn't really say it. So then Doc says, you know, and J.J. Redick was begging to stay and be a Clipper. J.J. Redick replied, ain't true. My agent didn't get in touch with him, telling him I want to stay there. He's now, of course, with the 76ers, and they're going to be pretty good moving forward. But J.J. Redick came back and basically just slammed him. Now, I'm not saying J.J. Redick didn't burn a bridge. He's just saying, hey, look, no, I wasn't begging to stay in L.A. and be a Clipper, because once a coach comes out and says that, you have the right to let it go, or you can come back and tell, hey, your story, your side of it. J.J. Redick, nah, I didn't want to be a Clipper anymore. I'm out of there. So in life, no matter what your profession is, just kind of be careful with burning bridges. J.J. Redick, I don't think, burned a bridge. He stood up for himself and said, hey, I didn't want to be there anymore. But Chris Paul kind of took a shot, a mild one. But when you say there's something wrong with the culture, you're pointing your finger dead aim at the head coach. Big parade going on down in Houston. You know the two Marks here, Mark Seidel, Mark Moore, went down to Game 7 in Chevy's Ravine to see their Astros get the trophy and the rings. Well, the big parade is going on in Houston right now, and the city needed it. They need healing, and it's going to take years upon years to get things back to normalcy there, just like in Puerto Rico, the same down in Florida. But one person ain't there at the parade, Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander is in Italy right now, and he's about to drop the big one. That is the right knee, him and Kate Upton tying that knot. So he's missing the parade because he's in Italy. When you're in Rome, do as the Romans. So congrats to him, man. That's pretty cool. One other update, in case you missed it, the G-Knights fell 2-1 to Boston last night. So they're now 8-4. They've lost three straight. And it doesn't get any easier. And I say that because the road is tough. Saturday, they're in Ottawa. Monday, Toronto. Tuesday, Montreal, wee-wee. They get home a week from today, the 10th. So they play Winnipeg on that day. So they get the Canadiens. Okay, after losing to Boston, Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, then Winnipeg coming down to T-Mobile next Friday. Then, of course, next Saturday, keep in mind in the final go-round, giving away those tickets to see the Rebels in their home opener against Florida A&M. That's November 11th. We'll do that in the final go-round. So a lot of stuff to look forward to this weekend. By the way, also this weekend, down on Fremont Street, from 5 o'clock tonight till 11 o'clock, it's going to be the Fremont Street Experience. It's called First Welcome to the Jungle. So welcome to the jungle on Fremont Street. They actually have some setups downtown where you could get this parking app. Need to work on that on the strip, my brothers. Some big issues there, man. Look, unless I have an assignment from the radio station, and I love Vegas, I love the strip, everything, all the amenities and everything are there, but $20, $25 to park and go to something on the strip ain't going to happen unless I'm on live remote. If I ain't on location, man, you will not see me on the strip. Love it? Nah, listen, I'll beat this one till the day I'm out of here. The locals should be able to park free. If you have a Nevada state identification, driver's license, whatever, we should all be able to park on the strip for free. You shouldn't have to go through all this stuff, filling out this and that and this and that. No, you show them the ID, have a nice day. It should be free, and it always should be that way. All right, gents, ladies, 15 past the hour, lighters up.
Same for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show is Dope.
3:15 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. All right, I'm going to start you with a good one. This was on TV last night. Of course, Kenny the Jet, Shaq, Barkley, and Johnson, they do their thing on TNT. And you know what? It's the best basketball show you can have because it's not just showing you the highlights. It's entertainment, and these guys are real good at what they do. So there's a thing called the Tortilla One Chip Challenge. There's always a challenge going around, right? The Bucket Challenge and all the other good stuff. And this one, live on TV. Now, I don't know how hot this tortilla is. I do not like spicy foods. Do you?
I love spicy, man.
I can't take spicy.
Especially when it comes to the Eastern cuisine.
It takes the nap out of my hair. So I can't do it, brother. Okay. Anyway, last night, Shaq bet Barkley on TV, $20, that he could take this Tortilla One Chip Challenge, which is spicy, spicy, super hot, and not make a face. Give a listen.
I bet you $20 I buy the chip, won't even make a face.
Bet.
Without making a face.
No one yet, brother.
Y'all must not know what fraternity I'm in. Tell him, Matt.
He's starting to frown up.
Omega Sci-Fi, till we die. It's nothing to me. I'm not making a face.
Yes, you are.
I'm just coughing. I'm not making a face.
That counts as a face.
Ernie, I'm coughing.
I know when you go
coughing. Ernie, I'm coughing. Yeah, that, this should be making me like, I'm not making a face. Oh, it's hot. Anybody got some milk?
It got worse. Hey, I'm okay. So.
There you go. Not up in here. Listen, along the way, you learn your lesson. Spicy foods, going in, bad. But coming out, worse. I'm going to sweat like crazy. I'll be sweating bullets. And then later that night, you're going to see me in the men's room for a very long time. Spicy ain't good. Shaq, I got to give it to you for taking that challenge. It's pretty dope.
Man, I got to say, there have been some crazy challenges, some for good causes, some for no causes. But I remember when the cinnamon challenge started to pop off, people were choking on cinnamon. And I was like, why? This challenge is kind of dope to me because it's really, really simple. You bite something that you're supposed to ingest, kind of like the Blazing Wing challenge at like a Buffalo Wild Wings or something like that. And you do it on live TV and you have fun with your buddies and it makes for great humor. I don't like some of those other challenges, especially some of the challenges my juniors are getting into, but that is pretty dope. I'm not a huge baseball tracker. So when it comes to traditions and things, I'm catching up, of course, but I love when teams stay in tradition with whether it be World Series tradition or NFL Super Bowl tradition, things like that. And I got to commend the Cubs for handing off the torch to the Astros front office in the form of delicious pizza inside the box, written congratulations. Just a big congrats to those carrying on the World Series championship torch and being really cool and keeping tradition with that. And it's just such a chill tradition. Just a few pizzas to the front office, and it's as simple as 1, 2, 3, and you bond through that. And I think that's pretty dope in itself.
I agree. You know, anytime you get stuff together of that nature, I'm all in on it. Absolutely. All right, this one right here, you talk about staring death in the face. And this took place about 6:55 last night, about maybe 5:40-ish. A small plane ended up in a pond up on Ann Road and 95 here in Vegas. Two passengers on a small plane looking to land at North Las Vegas Airport didn't make it. Well, the pilot is calling and saying, hey, one of my engines just blew. I got to make an emergency landing. So he's looking around where to land, and there's nothing but business here, home here. And then there's a pond with a lake. It's a golf course. The dude lands the plane in the lake, in the pond. And if you go online, you can see the tail of the plane sticking out of the water still. They haven't done anything yet. They have to, officials have to get in and get the black box and see everything else. But this is the Painted Desert Golf Course, 5555 Painted Mirage Road, up near Lone Mountain and US 95. So this pilot, if it weren't for his quick thinking, him and his passenger would be dead. And no telling how many people on the ground could have got wiped out. You've seen planes land on freeways sometimes and make it. Seen planes do other things. There was a plane that landed off of over by the airport, off of the Mirage on Trop once. A plane landed on that street years ago. But this dude lands in a pond, and they come out. And then get this now. Thank God neither one of the passengers were black, because then they had to swim for their lives. Okay, and they both made it. So don't have to describe who wasn't in the plane. So the two people on that plane survived because of quick thinking by the pilot. To me, to avoid killing other people, damaging mucho property and yourselves, crashing a plane into a pond in Vegas, man, You're pretty lucky and you're pretty dope.
You know what? I love that story. And it's funny, and this is a little bit unorthodox, but it brings up a story from my college days where instead of a hero, these people were actually dopes. One of my exes, I was at her apartment one night, and, you know, we're doing our thing and hanging out, and we hear some noise, and this is probably pretty early in the morning. We go down to see, check out their pool, and somebody's Jeep Liberty is at the far end of the pool in their complex, and it wasn't the driver of the Liberty that had drove through their front gate and landed the Jeep in the pool. It was a spiteful friend or ex of the person who somehow got the keys and drove that baby into the pool. I remember they got in so much trouble for that. Gosh, and you know what? It was cool, to be honest. And I know you don't like Reno very much, but
no, I love Reno.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you sure?
That's how we play them.
But I think everybody in that instance was a huge dope. I had to bring that up because that story reminds me so much of some of the craziness that went up at the University of North.
Boy, yeah. No. I've been to Reno plenty times. I would rather live here. I just like making fun of them because they're up north. Look, I'm from San Diego and LA's big brother, so we got made fun of a lot. So now I'm in Vegas. I am big brother, so I make fun of Reno.
You're not a snow guy, to make sure, are you?
Look at me, dude. Look at my face. Look at my complexion, my hair. Do I look like a snow guy?
Heck no.
Are you?
No. I had to get up out of there.
Where did that question come from?
I just think about it all the time. I survived 4 harsh Reno winters. I got stories, man.
And when you get snowed in, I mean, you can't drive.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. You sit up with a warm cup of cocoa and enjoy that.
Screw Reno. All right, on to Allentown, PA. Okay, this Pennsylvania man, he stole a dollar house plant that he thought was a marijuana plant during a series of break-ins a few months back. So this dude now is sentenced up to 15 years in the slammer. The Morning Call reports that 21-year-old Marco Rosado Jr. was sentenced earlier this week to 7.5 to 15.5 years of pleading guilty for a robbery back in August. He's got so many different burglaries, and he's got a jacket so long that they're saying, you know, this dude shouldn't be in society. Right. All right. Also, police say that Rosado broke into a Jabber News bar and grill in Allentown. Police say the manager confronted Rosado, but he backed off when Rosado pointed a gun at him. Rosado then took off with a dollar. So, all right. You think that you're getting some weed. It's a plant. You're smoking anyway and probably, I don't know, no telling what. What kind of plant you're smoking. It could be poison ivy. But when you're in that life as a criminal and you're surviving, I don't know what it's like. I hope none of you out there are experiencing that or have any close ones that are, because I don't make fun of people when I see them on the street or people, you know, asking for money and things like that, because, hey, not everyone put themselves there. Sometimes you could be a victim of circumstance. And even the ones that put themselves there, they're still people. But this dude right here, Rosado, a dollar, you're going to prison for 15 years, man. You are a stone dope.
Dang it. And you hear about it so often, just stupid, like what happened to Yasiel Puig and the person stealing about $100 worth of jewelry from his home. And I'm not sure if they actually caught the burglar. I think they did. But, you know, it's a huge risk and a small reward. And Then you look like a dope in the end. My last one, Jim McKingville, a.k.a. the Mattress Mac in Houston, is out $10 million. After promising refunds to a number of customers who bought mattresses for over $3,000 if the Houston Astros won the Super Bowl. And he is paying up, and he's proud of it. You know, that kind of dedication to your team, to your city, to your customers. I mean, out $10 million, and that's an estimate from him. But with a smile on your face, pretty dope dude. You're definitely gonna continue to have that incredible customer base. And for this season and this season only, go Astros.
Go Astros, baby. All right, lighters down. We're going to step away. George Cola, Yante, Canary North. He's next here on Game On.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
3:29 in the Valley. Thank God it's Friday. Keep in mind, now we're not tipping over that 80 mark anymore for the remainder of the year. We'll be in the 70s and eventually down in the 60s, 50s, 40s. Popsicle toes at night, we might get to the 20s, man. Woo! Love it. I love the cold weather. It's all good. This guy keeps it hot. George Cole, Aliante, Canary North. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, my man. How about yourself?
Doing great, doing great. What a wild thing last night. I'm thinking the Buffalo Bills are going to get healthy. And what I mean by that is a big W to go to 6-2. But the Jets had other plans, and they landed with an ambush waiting and just took them out. I mean, it was a blowout, even though the Bills got two touchdowns late in the ballgame to make it appear as though it was somewhat competitive.
Yeah. It was just like I said. I mean, and it really wasn't. I mean, they were out of that game from the start. And, Josh McCown, for what I think he's 38 years old now, is playing some good football.
I give him credit.
Mistake-free football.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I will say about the Jets, there was speculation they were going to be tanking the season. No. They play hard every down. Their defense is giving you pressure every down. And like you said, McCown knows how to manage a team. If they eventually get a decent quarterback, right, the Jets could be a player in that division.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, they obviously have, they had a pretty good running game last night, too, that Bilal Powell broke one, I think for 50 yards, and Forte had a decent night. And, yeah, and their defense basically shut down Shady McCoy. I mean, I think he was limited to 25 yards. Tyrod Taylor was the leading rusher in the game, and whenever your quarterback's the leading rusher, that's not good news.
I agree. And also Benjamin, not in uniform, the receiver they picked up from the Carolina Panthers, but he will help the Buffalo Bills down the road. All right, let's.
Yeah, he's going to help them out for sure.
Yeah, let's invest in tonight. What, three, I believe, games in college football. The stellar game would be UCLA-Utah. I'll let you start with Marshall, Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, one of them is actually on the way right now. That game had started at 3. I'm trying to see what the score is right now as we're – well, it looks like Florida Atlantic is already up 13-0. They were a 9.5-point favorite in that game. It looks like they're just at the end of the first quarter. Then we have Memphis and Tulsa at 5. Memphis opened a 12-point favorite. That game is sitting at 15.5 right now, so it's jumped up quite a bit. And then, like you said, the marquee game would be the UCLA Utah game tonight. Utah had opened 6.5; they are now at 7.5. Tonight.
What's going on with the Pac-12? Once again, this year they're going to get bypassed by the committee. I know there's parity, but you thought SC was going to, at least I thought SC was going to be the team to rep that particular conference. Not so much. UCLA, they're struggling with their defense. Washington State losing key games. Washington State, But what's going on with this conference?
I don't know. Washington, I thought, was going to hold it together. Washington State, I think they were kind of playing above themselves. You know what? They're not getting the quarterback play that I thought everybody thought they were going to get. Everybody thought, Josh Rosen and Darnell would be the studs this year. They're not playing quite up to what they were expected of. And, you have a lot of, there hasn't been anybody entrenched as a coach there for a while, other than, like I said, what's his, Peterson's third or fourth year at Washington, maybe?
I believe it's his fourth.
It is his fourth, yeah. So, I mean, I think they need to get back to, where you can hold on to a coach for more than 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, it's weird because it's a conference where, okay, Utah went over and joined them. Colorado, a couple of other teams moved in. I mean, look, they went from Pac-10 to Pac-12. I thought Utah was going to help the conference. And BYU, on the other hand, and that's a whole different story. An independent, they figured they could be the Notre Dame of the West, not in a conference, being an independent, their own TV setup and everything else. Everything has fallen apart for BYU. Yeah, I thought for sure they should have joined that conference.
Yep. Yeah, they should have. I mean, BYU's had a lot of good football programs, a lot of success, but they're not in the range of a Notre Dame. And even not being in a conference, it hurts Notre Dame plenty.
Yeah, the only savior for them is their TV contract, because they're making big-time millions.
The money,
yeah, that's they do what they want, when they want, play who they want. And let's face it, Notre Dame, right there in the mix with the committee, they are – I hope they make it. Honestly, I'm not a Fighting Irish fan, but, just their schedule. I mean, it's murderer's row. I mean, they put people on the schedule and they compete. And what was it? I think a 3-point loss to Georgia. That's it. Everything else, they've been money, blowing teams out, good teams.
Including that SC. Was week one, I believe, that they lost to Georgia, right? Or it was real early
it
in
was.
The season. I mean, I think, you know, what happened to them is, though, what year did they finally made the championship? It had to have been, again, about 4 years back, and then they just got crushed by Alabama. You know, people always have memories about that, you know, when they do get to the big game, they're not competitive with the big SEC schools.
All right, Clemson, we'll start you there, and I'll let you run down some other key games coming up tomorrow. That Clemson matchup at North Carolina State, a pretty good football team. Clemson now 7 to 7.5, 50. If anything moved on that, and what the sharps and perhaps the public playing there?
No, I was just kind of looking at that. That game's at 12:30. It's 7.5 even. We're a little bit high on the ticket count on Clemson, but money-wise, kind of have action both ways. Then kind of looking down at some of the other bigger games, Iowa State and West Virginia. West Virginia opened 2.5. That's now -3. That game's getting bet pretty well. Public pretty well on Ohio State, -18.5 over Iowa. Miami, Virginia Tech. Miami's a 1-point favorite. Looks like almost all the money is on Miami right now, but I have a feeling that might be a tough game for Miami tomorrow.
Yeah, and Miami, like Wisconsin, the Badgers 8-0, Miami 7-0, and they basically just got overlooked by the committee. I believe Wisconsin is 9th, and Miami right behind them at number 10. And you just got to keep winning. And if there's nothing left on your schedule that can really bump you up, then you just have to blow teams out and hope somebody in front of you loses.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's tough. You can't ask of your kids anything more than to win football games. So it's a shame that, you know, you could be undefeated at this point in the season and not get the respect that the kids have earned. But, yeah, look, you know, talking about, you just mentioned Wisconsin. They're a 13.5 point favorite tomorrow. All the sharp money is on Indiana, +13.5. Another game, the public's heavy on Georgia. Tomorrow they're -23.5 over South Carolina. I mean, I think a lot of these games that if you'd looked at before, and I think this has been true for this whole year, you would have thought these would have been just, you know, marquee matchups in November, you know, South Carolina, Georgia. But the fact is Georgia's a 23.5 point favorite. It just, things haven't turned out right for some teams.
I'm kind of rooting for that team also, the Bulldogs. I mean, every year we talk about, oh, this right here is the year that Georgia's going to be right there with Alabama. Well, this might just be that year. Chubb is, if he stays healthy, they got a quarterback, their new coach. Everything is working out just nicely for them. I guess in the back of your mind you're thinking, something's going to bring them down, right?
I hate to even say it, but, yeah, you know, reminds me back when, you know, I think it was at Todd Gurley's last year there. I mean, you're always just – I mean, as the NFL has proved this week, you're – you know, one, it doesn't even have to be a contact. You're just one cut or one step away from, you know, a season-ending injury.
Let's, George Cole, by the way, he's our guest right now, Ayante, Cannery North, each and every Friday. He's in the slot either at 10 after 3 or 3:30. Let's look at the Rebels, and they need a win. They need to win 3 of their last 4 games, and they are winnable games. There's 3 games on the schedule that they can win, and it begins with Hawaii this coming Saturday.
Yep, they're a 7.5-point favorite. Money kind of even. I would expect that game will be pretty well bet. usually, especially at our properties, the Hawaiians, they come in pretty strong down at the Cal and the Fremont. So I would expect to see some Hawaiian money come in on that game. It's at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Right now, like I said, you know, the looks like we have a few more tickets on UNLV, but I would say by game time, there's going to be some Hawaiians back in their team.
George, any other college games you want to highlight?
No, I think that's about it. Another, you know, another decent game tomorrow night would be the Missouri. It's actually tomorrow morning. Missouri, Florida. Missouri's minus 3.5. Looks like the sharps are all over Florida. Penn State, Michigan State. Penn State's minus 9.5. Public all over them. Hoping that they'll rebound, and that looks about it. I guess there's another, you know, Washington State, Stanford should be another good game. Minus 1.5, Washington State. Looks like all the money's coming in on Stanford in that game right now.
Any games in the NFL for week number 9 that are kind of standing out, getting a lot of handle?
Well, you know, I'm sure there's we have a couple happy bettors who had, you know, bet the Colts when they were plus 13.5. So, I mean, that line has come down to, they're actually at plus 13. It looks like the Sharps got them at but that's come down to 7 with the injury to Deshaun Watson. Eagles, Broncos, it looks like the Sharps are on the Broncos at plus 7.5. That could be because, like I said, they tend to like that 7.5 number. The Buccaneers at plus 7 minus 120 are a big sharp bet against the Saints. Looks like the public's all over the Falcons, minus 1 at the Panthers. Like I said, the Colts now, everybody's kind of backing the Colts with what happened with Deshaun Watson. And looks like another big public bet. It looks like the Sharps and the public are both on the Cowboys. We have a lot of money on the Cowboys right now, minus 2.5.
Very popular team. Hey, before we move on to the association, I believe there's 12 or so games on the hardwoods tonight. You just mentioned something in there about 7.5. You and I understand this, but a lot of listeners out there really don't if they're not bettors or casual bettors. When we talk about the public and sharps, and then you mentioned 7.5, a key number, kind of explain what the sharps do as far as hitting a game, moving it, and coming back for it.
Yeah, well, you know, typically, you know, the sharps always like a plus 3.5, a plus 7.5. If you get over 10, they usually always will take the dog. I mean, you know, they obviously like to get 10.5. But when it gets up to the 13s and 14s, you know, the public has no problem laying the higher number for the favorite. But typically the sharps jump on those type of bets where, like I said, 3 and 7 are what you would call our key numbers. So it takes a lot for us to move off of a 7. So to get that game back down to a 7 right now, we'd have to have a ton of Eagles money come in.
All right, let's move on to the NBA. 12 games on the slab tonight in the association. The Cavaliers have struggled. What is it, 4 straight losses? And they're dead last in defense in the NBA. In your estimation, what's going on? And what's the public or the Sharps doing when their games pop up?
Well, it looks like right now the Wizards, it opened at 3. They're now at 3.5. Nobody's really backing the Cavs right now. I think the public is a little bit on their parlays. I think it's just out of habit. They see the Cavs Wizards, and without even really paying attention, they don't realize that as of right now, the Wizards are a much better team than the Cavs. They're betting off of years past. But, I mean, it sounds like their locker room's a little bit of turmoil. And, I would think they'll right the ship, you know, as the year goes on. But they're missing Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, that it almost, I'm not going to say LeBron James is going through the motions. He's not. He's always going to give you his best effort. But I think we all know what's going to happen at the end of the season. I don't know if they're going to be around in the finals. They'll be around at the championship of the Eastern Conference Finals, sure. But what seed are they going to be? We have no idea. A whole different team from the team they had last year that made it to the finals and the team that won it 2 years ago. But also, George, at the same time, at the end of the day, when this is all said and done, come June, Bron is gone.
Yeah. You know, like I think you just said it. You know, last year, LeBron, like you said, he's going to give it his best every night, but he knows he can't do that 82 games this year. He just knows he physically can't do it. So last year, he had the ability to kind of, you know, maybe pull back the throttle a little bit and let Kyrie take over some games. And, you know, Derrick Rose and D. Wade aren't going to do that. You know, you can't replace Kyrie Irving with a couple people like that and expect them to put up the numbers as a, you know, 25-year-old Kyrie Irving is.
I'll let you walk down the rest of the games for us here. And if I see something that we need to learn, we'll jump in, all right?
Sounds good. Magic had opened up -8.5 hosting the Bulls. That's down to 8. The Pistons are -1.5 at home hosting the Bucks. Bucks are another young and upcoming team. Pacers at the 76ers. 76ers had opened 6.5. That's down to 5. Looks like the Sharps back the Pacers a little bit in that game. Rockets are -9.5. They had opened 8.5 at the Hawks. Knicks are 4.5. They had opened at 4 hosting the Suns. Spurs are 4.5. That opened at 3, so that took quite a bit of a jump. Looks like the public's all betting the Spurs right now and the Rockets heavy. We have the Pelicans -5. They had opened at 4.5. They're at Dallas. Jazz -1.5. That's right where it opened. They're hosting the Raptors. The Nuggets -5.5 are hosting the Heat. Celtics are a dog on the road against the Thunder. That game opened at 6. It sat at 6. Looks like that one's getting bet pretty well both sides. And then finally, late tonight, we have the Nets at the Lakers. Lakers open 2.5 and are now -3 in that game.
Oh, they're loving their new rookie, huh? Their number 2 selection in the lottery. But the dad just won't shut up still. Man.
Man, I feel for the kid because, in all honesty, it just seems like he's just a really nice kid. And his dad is just putting a ton of pressure on him.
That's unfortunate. I like him. He seems likable, very quiet, very bright, intelligent, handles himself well. Questions coming at him about his dad, he basically says, hey, he says what he wants, I play. And, I respect him. The G-Knights in a bit of a struggle. They've been on the road now for 3 games. They've lost the last 3 games. They're headed now to Canada for 3 more. It won't get easier, so they're now 8-4. So they're idle tonight, back at it tomorrow. We have 2 games dropping the puck tonight, though.
Yes, sir. It's pretty quiet on the ice tonight. It looks like there's a full slate tomorrow. It's the Devils at the Oilers. The Oilers are -185, total of 6. And then we have the Predators and Ducks. That's basically a pick, and the total of 5.5 in that one.
You want to get in the octagon? Huh? Here we go.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
We got a little UFC tomorrow. It looks like we got, let me take a look. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 matches up. It's Bisping and St. Pierre is kind of the title fight. It looks like most of our action right now is on the Dillashaw and Garbrandt fight.
And St. Pierre is bringing Freddie Roach into the octagon with him. First time for, you know, I love Freddie Roach. How long have you been here in Vegas, George?
About 8 years now.
Okay, back, I'm talking maybe, we're going way back, maybe 20, maybe a quarter of a quarter of a century ago, 25 years ago. Freddie Roach used to be a professional fighter, and he, you know, he's fighting out of Vegas, and he would be in these fights where you couldn't knock him out, okay? He would get his, but he would, at times he would become a punching bag, and but you loved him because he was a tough dude. He would not quit. He wouldn't get knocked out. And after that, you move along. Now he's a trainer. He's Pacquiao, Cotto, and other fighters, great fighters. And then eventually, now here he is going in to the octagon for the first time. We love some Freddie Roach here, man.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you're going to see more and more, you know, boxing people kind of getting involved in the UFC and some UFC people getting involved in boxing.
And finally, you got to tell me about her after you tell me about NASCAR on Sunday.
Yeah, let's see. It looked like, you know, the typical names were at the top. Martin Truex, I think they're down in Texas this week. Let me try to get to where we are. Yes, it is the AAA Texas 500. Truex is 2-1. Kyle Busch is 4-1. Kyle Larson, 5-1. Harvick, 7-1. Our other main man from out here in Las Vegas, Kurt Busch, is 30-1. And let's see where our girl
is. Where's Danica,
baby? She is 100-1. And yes, we have taken a few bets.
You're taking a few. Boy, the guys just love giving their money to you. Keep building the little plants and everything else around the facility. What do you got going on out there at Yante this weekend, George?
you know, we got the Breeders' Cup, so there's plenty of horse racing out here. You know, good weekend of football. I did want to mention to you, I think Najee's coming back in January. So if you want to come on out, we'll make sure we make that happen for you.
All right, I'm in it. Also, the app?
BeConnectedSports.com. It's available on Android and iPhone. It's a free app. You can have all of our up-to-the-minute odds right in the palm of your hand. So feel free to download the app, and then when you're comfortable with it, come on into one of the Boyd Gaming Racing Sports folks and open up your account.
Good work as always. Appreciate you, George.
All right. See, have a great one, bud.
You got it. George Cole, Aliante, Kennery North here. Game on. We'll step away. We'll come back. Remember, in the final go-round, Rebel Tickets opening game. Not the one tonight, the exhibition, but next Saturday against Florida A&M.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams. Seat Williams.
Back in the box with the final go-round at 3:52. Thank God it's Friday. 75 degrees outside. A little overcast. Come on. Come on. Bring some rain. Make it rain. Absolutely need it. It's been so long. Once again, I'll remind you what's going on downtown. It's Welcome to the Jungle, the first Friday downtown on Fremont Street. And they have these new parking apps. Check into that because we shouldn't have to pay to park. I'm sorry. I'm never going to get over that. That's just greed, man. Oh, man. All right. Couple of things to look at. The G-Knights won't be back until next Friday. And along the way, they've got road games. Let me check them here. Saturday, Ottawa. Monday, Toronto. Tuesday, Montreal. And then next Friday, they come home to Winnipeg. The Rebels tonight with their exhibition opener. And, of course, the UNLV football team needs a big win and a lot of support down at Sam Boyd Stadium, 3 o'clock tomorrow. Then, of course, next Friday, or I beg your pardon, next Saturday, rather, the Rebels with Florida A&M, November 11th. I'll be at that one to start the season opener. Marvin Menzies, I think this year we're going to see a lot of real positive things. Last year was no fun for any of us, for him, for the fans, for the Regents, the administration, the student body, none of us. But it's all good now because we got a new year and a new stay. All right. About to check out. Thanks to George Cole, Aliante, also Marcus Laverne. And remember, I'm going to do this giveaway before I hang out on you. I'm Seat Williams, folk. Kinstuck Logarts. If I will see you on the radio, more of the show. That is Monday. But right now, we'll take caller number 25 at 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. You got the Rebs and Florida A&M. Folk, game on. Game over.